Jack Armstrong, of course. You'll watch him on the broadcast. Joins us now. Jack, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm great. I knew the Raptors have been playing really good ball. I did not know they're essentially the best team in the league since the Rudy Gay trade. Should we realistically then, because that's a significant period now, we're talking 4.5, 5 months that they played this good basketball, should we thoroughly expect them to defeat the Brooklyn Nets in this series? And if they lose, would it be considered a pretty big upset?
No and no. How about that? Because in more recent times, since January 1, the Nets have been the best team in the Eastern Conference. And quite frankly, if you look at the Nets, their second unit, a lot of these guys have started for other NBA teams. Their payroll's through the roof. I mean, they're paying major luxury tax, and they're loaded. And quite frankly, this is going to be an incredibly difficult series, and I fully expect it to go seven. And I think the Raptors, in my eyes, are a major underdog. Even though I'm saying it's going to go seven, they're going to have to play out of their minds to get it to seven, in my opinion. I think it's I'm trying to take my heart out of it and be very, balanced in how I see it and how I feel about it. And I really want the Raptors to win, obviously. And I think they very well can. But they're going to have to play great to do it.
Jack, what do you see as the reasons why they're the big underdogs?
I just think the Nets have superior talent. They have superior experience. They have superior depth. They got more scoring punch in their second unit. And I really think that that's a concern of mine. And here's the X factor. I think they'll get the better whistle because they've got named guys.
Yeah.
And in our league, I've been doing this 16 years, that impacts things, whether you like it or not. You know, to have Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, you know, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, those guys have big names. Even an Andre Kirilenko, there's reputation to go with that. And you got Jason Kidd, even though he's a first-year coach, he's a Hall of Fame player. There's there's some cachet there, too. And you know, they've been on U.S. national TV, I don't know, 10, 15 times this year, and the Raptors haven't had a sniff in 5 years. So, there's no sexiness to the Raptors. So I think that the Raptors are going to have to show incredible poise, restraint, and be able to play through some calls that maybe might not go their way and absolutely be the better team. Can they handle that? Can they do that? I don't know. It'll be a great test.
Jack, that's exactly as I see it as well. I mean, Garnett, Pierce, Johnson, Williams, Collins, there's so much experience there, and you touched on a great point, I think. You tend to get some of the calls when you got more names that have been bigger for a longer time on the marquee, plus you've been around the block a few times, and there's a vast difference in experience between these two teams. Is there any single bigger factor than that in this series?
I hope there's a lot more factors than that, because if that's the biggest one, the Raptors aren't going to win. I still believe in the old-fashioned stuff, like being prepared, having an outstanding coach, having guys that really buy into the system, play hard, play as a team, do all the right things, and having a fan base that's going to be so enthusiastic that they're going to help put their team over the top. And that you have one extra home game than the other guy that you've earned. And you tried to go into the postseason the right way, whereas the Nets tried to tank to get to six to play Toronto to avoid Chicago. So I hope and pray the basketball gods say, you know what, we're going to fix this a little bit the other way now. Because one team really tried to do it right, and the other team tried to be cute. Now, will that happen? Probably not. You know, you got to earn it. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to go out there and earn it. And if you're better than them, you'll prove it. I think the Raptors can win. I've picked the Nets in seven. And again, I hope and pray I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. I just think right now it's going to be an incredibly great opportunity for the Raptors, and it's an incredibly great challenge. And you know what? Things like that, I mean, it's not supposed to be easy. So let's let it go. Let's let it get. Let's let it rip. It should be a lot of fun.
Jack Armstrong, NBA analyst, joins us. Raptors will open up 12:30 on TSN. Actually, 10:30 our time on TSN this Saturday. First game of the playoffs in the NBA. Jack, you talked about that Nets and that decision by Jason Kidd to want to go and avoid Chicago and take on the Raptors. So let's look at the matchups. Who do you see Johnson going out? Like, who's the Toronto guy who's going to get the assignment the majority of the time up against Johnson?
Joe Johnson? Well,
yeah.
I'd say, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Terrence Ross. You know, that'll be – it all depends on how the Nets play. If they're going big, who they have at the three spot, if they go small. You know, I think – I guess the point is this. They'll put their best perimeter defender on a guy like Johnson if Pierce is at the four.
Okay.
You know, there's just you know the Nets. That's the beauty of the Nets. They can really kind of screw up your matchups, and they don't play it. You know, probably the best thing that happened to them was Brook Lopez getting hurt, because they reinvented themselves and they play small and they're a better team because of it. So, I would have to say right now that you know Terrence Ross is your best perimeter defender, so he'll get that ultra important assignment. Anytime, Dwayne Casey, you know, whether it be Johnson or Pierce, who he deems as the most significant guy at that moment on the floor, I would say John Salmons off the bench is a valuable guy because he's an experienced professional defender.
Jack, Kyle Lowry is going to be an important player in this series no matter how you slice it. But one stat that caught my eye, he was very good inside in the paint against Brooklyn, averaged 8.5 points a game versus them compared to 4.9 against all other opponents. What's that dynamic about? Was that Lowry playing well, a weakness in the way the Nets played him inside? What happened there?
I think he was very aggressive, putting a lot of pressure on the defense getting inside. I'm sure the Nets will make adjustments to prevent that. I don't think the Nets have a ton of shot blocking in there. So he feels he can get to the rim on them. And, you know, and what they do, too, is they really try on the perimeter to take away the three-point shot from Toronto with a guy like Terrence Ross. And they're really locked into DeMar DeRozan on the perimeter as well. So it opens up driving lanes significantly for a guy like Lowry. So, you know, that's going to be important, you know, for him to continue to do that. Because if I'm Jason Kidd on the other side, if you've watched the Raptors of late, you know, they're shooting the three exceptionally well. So if I'm going to beat the Raptors, I got to take away their three-point shot. You give them a lot of open looks, they're going to make you pay.
Jack, quickly, let's look at the some of the other series in the West, man. Because there's so many good teams in the West. Give me your upset pick. Is there any major upset pick you see in from the East or the West?
I just wrote an article for TSN.ca, and I put my predictions out there, and I told folks, based upon how crappy I did during the NCAA tournament with my picks this year, whatever I say, do opposite, you'll do all right. And I picked the Nets, and I'm hoping like crazy I'm wrong on that one. I in the West, the one upset I have is Portland-Houston. It's a 4-5 series.
Yeah.
And I just think that I'm not as good as Dwight Howard is. He scares me in the fourth quarters in terms of his foul shooting. And I think you could do a little hack a shack with him, as people have done. And if you can somehow keep James Harden in front of you and control their threes just a little bit, you could score on them. I really feel that way. And Portland's a fun team. They got a great home court advantage. LaMarcus Aldridge, now that he's back and healthy, they're playing a lot better. They shoot threes. They have great chemistry to share the ball. They're really well coached offensively. And I think that series, I'm hoping like crazy that series will be really entertaining. I picked Portland in seven now.
I want your thoughts on the Spurs. A dominant season again, but 0-4 against Houston and 0-4 against OKC. What do you make of that they dominated every team in the league except those two? Are they just bad matchups for the Spurs?
Well, don't play them.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess the winner of, if I'm not mistaken, 4-5. Yeah, so that would be Portland, Houston would play San Antonio. So obviously, that could be a potential second round matchup for San Antonio if they get by Dallas. You know, I think Dwight Howard can neutralize Duncan a little bit. I think James Harden is someone that they really struggle to guard. And I think, you know, a guy like Chandler Parsons is just an improving player who can really score. And you know, Beverly is a great on-the-ball defender and frustrates Tony Parker. But, you know, a lot of it is to how you're wired, though, as you go further into the playoffs. And I think the wiring for guys like the Spurs and their depth and their experience and their coaching versus Houston. And again, obviously Harden and Dwight Howard and guys like that have played deep in the playoffs before. But I think it'd be a lot closer this time around than maybe it was when you look at the regular season.
Jack, put you on the spot, especially when you set us up talking about how bad your NCAA picks were. Have you gone this far in terms of, at least in your mind, if not writing it yet, when all is said and done, who's going to meet in the final? Have you got two favorites in your mind right now?
No, I haven't gotten that far. I think, you know, I mean, just if I had to rate the teams, I would say, you know, you got to look at, in my opinion, you know, out west is the superior conference. Mm-hmm. Now, that team is going to be beat up by the time they get to the finals because it's going to be a war getting through it. But I still like the Spurs and the Thunder because they've done it over a long mm-hmm. period of time now here for a few years, and that's going to be important. I think the Clippers would be the other team that maybe could get there, but you know they're still not all together yet. You know, Danny Granger's still banged up. J.J. Redick's not all the way back. I worry about DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin in the fourth quarter with their free throw shooting. So I would put those guys 1-2, you know, the Spurs, Oklahoma City, whatever way you want to put them. Mm-hmm. And then I would put the Heat third. I still think the Heat are terrific. And if Dwayne Wade's healthy and they're completely healthy, I think they're still very capable of doing it. It's just going to be so hard, though, 4 years in a row to get back to the finals. I mean, they've won it the last 2 years, but to go 4 years, that's a lot. It takes a lot out of you. And we'll see how they hold up. And, you know, right now their bracket is pretty tough. I mean, they're going to play the winner of the Raptors-Nets series.
Yeah.
And even though the Raptors were 0-4 against them and the Nets were 4-0 against them, I think the Raptors were right there this year with the Heat. And on the other hand, the Nets had some great wins against them. So it'll be a good series if either team got to play them.
Jack, as always, love talking basketball with you. Get some rest. You're in for a busy stretch here pretty much every day on TSN. We'll be watching.
Thanks so much. It'll be great. Well, have a great night.